And I'm Brian.
And this is R&B Talks.
R&B Talks. Sorry. I'm sorry, I can't help it, man. I get like a Bobby Brown New Edition R&B vibe when you say it, because you have such like a deep, like Barry White kind of voice. It throws me some of those old 70s and 80s R&B vibes.
Is that right?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
All right.
Remind me.
How are you, Reggie?
Awesome.
I'm not laughing because I know you're not. I'm just laughing because the way you said it. Been a rough week.
Yeah.
It's been a strange week altogether, like from top to bottom.
Dude, I don't even know. This whole month is just 5 weeks, whatever it's been. It's just like I've been living in a video game or some shit. So, I mean, I can't, you know.
I'm just universe kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get by, man. I mean, that's really all I'm doing, you know? I mean, sure. It's so minuscule changes, if any, that go on day to day. So, because I got 4 to 5 weeks before this is
out of your system. Yeah, you told me that, man. That sucks.
You know, and I'm not going to go take any pharmaceuticals or none of that crap. I mean, you know, so it's like.
Well, naturally re-regulating is the best way to do it, but it's also the most difficult way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I can't even stress eat though, or like, you know,
yeah.
do like that, because then my glucose goes all nuts and then I'm hyper.
But that might be a good thing though, right? Like it might be keeping you from making some not so great moves, because stress eating is never good because you never eat anything that's good for you.
Right. But yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, sure, I've had my Twizzler kick here and there, but I can't really do that too much now. So I'm at the point where my, there's not really anything hampering my, appetite, or the GLP-1 stuff is like done with regulating insulin and
yeah,
sort of.
Now it's just rerouting all that.
Now my system's trying to figure that out and go through that. Like, it's such a weird, there's so much going on, like your body's like doing all this, but yet it always feels like this pit of my stomach thing. And I just say, I get caught in a what if loop like a lot because of this stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What if?
That's anxiety for you.
I know. And then the feelings of dread things where just like, then I, you know, it's like imminent danger, you know, I'm full on about to flip out. And I mean, some of that's lessened, right? But it's still there. And it's like, that's the problem. Like I'm so tired.
I almost think it's worse when it's just floating in the background, because it gives you this false sense of I'm getting better, and you'll have that good moment. And then the anxiety will sneak in and stomp on it.
Or just something triggers it too.
Yeah.
Like you'll watch some movie or you'll do something, I don't know. And something just like makes, set you back a little bit. I don't know. But in general, I don't want to harp on this anymore. We've talked about it through death, but I mean, it's just, this is what it is.
Well, two things. Just to so you know, I've had digestive issues all week long. I don't know what's going on with me. I haven't really changed the things I eat, and I tend to eat fairly healthy. I tend to not stray too much, but I don't, there's been a stressful week. So there's been a lot of kind of digestive issues. That seems to be my thing as I'm getting older, is the more stress I have, the more digestive issues I have. I am happy that I learned that something about Reggie I didn't know, cause I'm a huge Twizzlers fan and so is Reggie. And your beard looks manly. I'm going to give you compliments, man, cause I got to bring you out of this. Your beard looks very manly, but I would be droll if I did not recognize some losses we had this week. So, you know, they say it comes in threes. So first we had Malcolm Jamal Warner, Theo from The Cosby Show, a show I grew up watching with my grandparents. My grandmother loved The Cosby Show. You know, it's bad enough one in with Bill Cosby, but for Malcolm Jamal Warner, a man in his, you know, late 40s, early 50s to pass away. Then if that wasn't enough, Ozzy passed away. Now I don't buy into the whole Prince of Darkness garbage that was all marketing to sell his music. I was a huge Ozzy fan when I was a young kid. I grew up in kind of a rough environment. And Ozzy and Black Sabbath and all those bands were great for me back then because it really gave me an outlet for my, like, all that stuff. But then this one really kicked me in the shin. Hulk Hogan passed away. When I was a kid, I love watching wrestling today. If wrestling is on and I breeze by it, I stop and watch wrestling. Hulk Hogan was a huge part of my childhood and my adolescence. And man, what that sucks. I'm sorry. Just sucks.
But he was 71, right?
He was.
Here's the thing. He had taken lots of drugs.
Yeah.
Lots of steroids,
lots of alcohol, lots of pain medication.
I mean, you know, he'd had many, yeah, lots of, I mean, you know, the guy was.
I think I read he had like 8 hip surgeries, 6 knee surgeries, like back 4 or 5 back surgeries.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, like, you know, he really was beat up. I mean, he made it to 71. I mean, but he had really done his body rough.
But you know what the most important thing is?
He loved God.
7 months before he passed, he was baptized.
Yeah,
that was cool. I thought that was cool. I actually watched the video of him being baptized. It was very cool. Like, apparently this guy, whoever his wife was a big Christian and brought him home. And I think that's super cool, man.
Yeah.
That was, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what happened with Ozzy. I really loved Ozzy. I thought he was a character. I don't know where Malcolm Jamal Warner's affiliations were, but this was just a week of like some big historical names in my existence have just passed away. And I felt it would be a lack of integrity not to mention that and say, I wish the best for their families and hope that those losses are received and you have comfort during that time. That just sucks, man. That really does. But anyway, anything from you, Reg, anything from this week that you would be interesting in?
No, we lost our 14-year-old beagle.
Yeah.
Really, anything else that hasn't really mattered to me, that one obviously overshadowed everything.
Yeah. Lucy was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had had bone cancer and heart stuff for years. Shocked she made it to 14.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the girls didn't take that well.
I can imagine, man.
At
Lucy's been around longer than your girls have been around.
Yeah.
So Lucy's been there all their life, right?
Yeah. That's
a tough loss, man. I don't care who you are.
Wife, it's been rough. And it still is. You're only talking day 2.
Yeah. When you texted it to me, I was like, dude, I'm not going to see Lucy when I come over.
No.
It's like that.
I know. And you know, and that's the thing. And I'm glad that we had the time, but it's still one of those things where this has been, I don't know. The surreal nonsense of all this crap. This is another thing that just was, I'll tell you what, Satan has made this the most difficult part, made this as hard as it can be.
Well, he likes to get you in a difficult position and then like give you one really righteous stab to make it worse. It's like, here, the knife's in.
He's just going to twist the knife, you know?
Right.
And I mean, that's what it is. This is this whole thing. It's been as hard as it can be with stuff, with the, what you have, a water leak, with my washer just catastrophically going down, and with several other things. I mean, it's just crazy.
Dude, I don't know how you feel. The last 10 months for my wife and I have been, I told her, I said, I feel like Job.
I don't feel like that, dude. I mean, like Job's, like I didn't go through all that, but. But, you know, I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand how a fella could lead his family and be a rock and all this stuff with an anxiety problem like that. And maybe I don't know. See, here's the thing. I don't know how different it is from a physiologically induced anxiety versus a psychiatric induced. I don't know if that's the different or levels of intensity.
I can tell you, as someone who suffers from anxiety, like severe anxiety at times, it's so strange because it will debilitate you, yet your adrenaline is through the roof because you're literally worried about everything.
Yep.
Everything that you described that you've gone through, I've gone through. That's why when you told me it was going on, I was like, dude, Because I was one of the things I always admired about you is that's not one of the things that you ever dealt with. Like nope. Anxiety was never something that Reggie ever had. And for me, now I can tell you this, until I learned my triggers and learned to control them, I was not a great husband or father because I couldn't. There were times where my anxiety would torch me to the point where I just couldn't participate. Like you said last week, you have trouble making decisions. I couldn't make any. I literally, you know, people all the time go, Brian, why do you go to the gym? To help control my anxiety. I figured out that my triggers are when I'm static too long and I have too much time to get into my own head and I start to worry about things. And then it just turns into this crippling, oh no, it's all going to explode and catch on fire. And, you know, I very much sympathized with you, man. Cause when you told me everything you were telling me, I was like, dude, I've done that. That sucks. The waking up in the middle of the night and worrying about things. Why am I waking up at 3 a.m. and worrying about this crap? Like, why does this? I've had moments where I've been like, I remember the worst it ever was. I watched a Fox News story about nuclear weapons. And it had been one of the most stressful months I'd ever had. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and had convinced myself somehow that nuclear war was going to break out. And I was sweating with anxiety about nuclear war. And I had to go like get out my Bible and sit quietly outside on the deck and read my Bible and pray just to get enough control to get back in the house. Yep. And start doing what I was supposed to do. So yeah, dude, it sucks. To say it sucks is it doesn't even do it justice. Like it doesn't. But you know, at least you know the cause and you're gonna re-regulate, which is good for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I even wore my fancy shirt for you today, man.
You did. But the other thing about the system resetting is my cold and hot stuff is all weird.
Backwards. Yeah.
I'm just like today. I don't know. I went to help my in-laws out this morning, which sweating and everything else. And then come home and I'm like walking around with a t-shirt and shorts on just fine. And then like an hour ago, it's like, I need to put on a sweatshirt.
Freezing.
Like what?
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy. Anyway.
Well, look, today.
So here's what I want to start with here,
Brian. Okay. Lay it on me, dude.
Yeah. I have a unique, I wouldn't say it's unique, but there's a definite special place in my heart for the way our digital communication and notifications and the 24/7 availability type of stuff is kind of real today. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I'm in IT, been in IT for 25 years, something like that. And, it's just one of those things where I've always been either, you know, at one point on call or I'm traveling or doing stuff or whatever. So like my sense of this kind of being on and notifications, all this stuff is like, it's so real, but there, I mean, it's ridiculous now though, because like now your phone has so many notifications. Mm-hmm. And everybody's sending out so much, you know, marketing and all this stuff nonstop. Like, dude, it's relentless. And, I mean, I remember like, I forgot to turn my phone on do not disturb, not, but like a week or so ago. And it was like at 2 a.m. or something, this notification went off for some kind of special sale on at Micro Center or something nonsense. Right. It was just like, what? Anyway, so, this is really about being overwhelmed in this digital world we live in.
Well, it's easy, dude. Now you get alerts on your television. Your smart TV is linked to, like my LG smart TV is linked to my Google, my Gmail account. So it'll come up on my television while I'm watching television. hey, LG would like you to blah, 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 blah. Shut up, man. I'm trying to watch TV. I don't want to know what you're doing.
But it goes beyond that too. Even people like, you know, people don't have the same, like I remember when you were growing up, you had a phone in your house.
Yeah.
You had one phone.
Well, yeah. If you were lucky, you had two, but one was usually in your parents' room.
It was something.
Yeah.
Right. But you had one phone in your house, and if you weren't there, you just you know, everybody understood this. Right. Yeah. But then, you know, but nowadays, man, people expect you to reply like, you know, instantaneously, you know, expect that.
It's like, I'd say the most ridiculous it's ever been is I got a 2 a.m. text from my boss one time asking me if I'd turned in reports. This is when I worked in the cleaning industry. Texting had just started to really take off. Hmm. And I had, what was those phones that they slide open phones and you could type on them and then you could close it. And I got a text at 2 a.m. asking me if I had filed the end of the month reports. I just ignored it. I was like, I'm not answering that. Like, he does not have a right to invade my privacy at 2 a.m. for any reason other than he might be on fire and I'm holding the fire extinguisher. Like, that's the only reason. You know, I'll get up in the morning and I'll drink some coffee. I'll talk to my wife. I'll open my phone, and between like 10 p.m. and 5 a.m., there will have been 100 emails come in. Most of them complete and utter junk.
Exactly. Right?
And you're like, what? But, you know, I think a kind of a way to track this back is back when, remember when CNN started, the idea of 24-hour news was laughed at. We're going to have a ticker and this new story is going to be reported constantly. And instantly everybody became addicted. Now I got to watch CNN. And now if you look at Fox News and MSNBC and all of these places, they're literal copycats of what CNN originally was. So this 24-hour news cycle, I think, was the beginning of it. Because now I got stuff to worry about 24/7, right? Well, now what's the thing you want to do when you're worried about something? You want to talk to somebody. You want to text and, you know, get input, which almost, if you'd ask me, it almost seems like intentional. Like this has been kind of a step-by-step enveloping of people, right? Because I mean, honestly, you know, I'll give you an example. Today we went out to breakfast with my wife. We do our financial meetings for the family on Saturdays. We went out and had a little breakfast, and I'm looking around the restaurant. My wife and I, phones are away, we're actually talking, laughing. I look around the restaurant, I just take kind of a gaze. There wasn't a single person that wasn't staring at their phone screen.
Yeah. I know.
And even like couples that were in the booth together, both staring at their phone screen. And I'm like, what in the name? Like, at this point, did you couple up just simply that you felt like you needed to fill a hole? Or does this person actually mean anything to you?
We do not. We have a rule as well. If we go out to dinner, even if we're at dinner here, whatever the case may be, we do not.
Yeah, no phones at the table.
Mm-mm. We don't do that. We when we sit down and watch a movie together, generally speaking, we're not staring at our phones, kind of thing. But it's this. I don't know. But it's just everybody's always on now.
Yeah.
There's like no division between anything anymore. It's just on.
Yeah.
Everything. 24/7, bloop, 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 you know, yeah. doesn't matter.
The devil can't turn you. He'll make you busy.
But I think this is, and I think that if we don't, as a men mm-hmm. don't decide to do something about kind of this overwhelming digital thing, I think you're just going to get wore out and you're going to miss a lot of stuff.
Oh, it exhausts. It beats me to death. Like, I don't, like, this neat, like, look, dude, if somebody texts me or calls me and I miss the call, unless there's an emergency, I might be a few hours, maybe the next day before I call them back. You know, it just is what it is, right? you know, some communication is intentional, right? Like when you and I are texting back and forth about the show, there's intentional communication there, right? But 95% of it is no intention at all. It's just random garbage thoughts and blurbs. And, you know, I have more people send me because they know that I do this show and they know that I read a lot now and that I'm doing a lot of kind of, they will send me these ridiculously long, nonsensical articles and want me to read them. And then they'll literally, I will not have had this 15-page article for more than 8 minutes. And the text next to, what do you think, man? What do you think about this? I haven't read it yet, dude. And I'm probably not going to read it today. I might be 4 or 5 days before I get to it.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm not, that's not a priority on my list. And they seem to think that we're almost being mean or disrespectful.
That's true.
You know, I know, dude. I'm with people. I'm with my wife. I'm with my friend Reggie. I'm with, you know, I'm working out. I'm not going to call you during what I'm doing. Are you cracked out? Like, have you drank entirely too much? Have you had like 9 energy drinks today? What's going on? Like, why do you need me to answer? That brings the next question for me is, when did we go from a society that understood and knew that to get answers, true answers, we needed to do a little research, take a little time, to this society that so desperately wants an answer right now that we'll even believe a lie? Like, when did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think the road to instant gratification has been, I mean, to have overwhelmingly instant gratification, I guess you'd say. That's been a road that we've been on since technology started booming back in the, you know, 80s, I'd probably
say.
Well,
one of the things I would say, too, is I would say that before long, the digital addiction will be something that people have to get treatment for. I have had people that – I've been in the presence of people that cannot find their phone and have a complete and utter total mental meltdown. If I can't find mine, I'm like, man, I'll find it later.
Maybe I'm doing this wrong. Like, I don't know what's so attention grabbing that people don't put their phone down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go on social media and just scroll, and, you know, or TikToks and all this stuff. I don't find any.
But my thing is I'm very tightly controlled of all that stuff. So like I only follow certain people on Instagram.
Yeah.
I only follow and listen to certain things that are posted on Facebook. Like I don't have this need to watch and listen to every single video that goes by in search of something. Honestly, I feel like, honestly, if you ask me, Reggie, and looking at the kids nowadays and how they are, it almost feels to me like they're doing it out of desperation because they're looking for meaning that's not there, right? We've accepted, I can't remember who it was, but I remember somebody calling it the digital God, right? Because you've left the meaning of what you're actually supposed to be doing in life, and now you're searching for meaning. You're scrolling through, hoping that you'll land on the video that'll give you the meaning that you're looking for. When actually, if you get out of your house and put your phone down and go get involved in something in life, the meaning will be there, right? I think this, honestly, if you watch them scroll, there's almost this look of dreaded desperation on their face because they're looking for the next thing that they can latch onto, right? And no offense, but anyone who I can only get a 12 to 15 second blurb of something that they're saying, I might go, wow, those are pretty strong words, but I don't attach to them because I don't know the context of the words and how they're using them. Right. Like rest in peace, John MacArthur, man. There's been times when I would run across a John MacArthur video and it would be very powerful, but all it really did was make me want to turn the thing off and go research what he said. Like actually get away from that and maybe read a book or find an article or something like that. But there's this quick snap thing that happens where people just can't pay attention for more than a 15 to 20 second span. And Wouldn't you feel a sense of desperation at that point that you couldn't grab on for more than it, that's almost like having some kind of disease.
But that's I think you hit it shallow. I think that's what we've done. We've gotten shallower.
Yeah.
Right. We're not as deep as we once were. We're not saying as much as we once did as a freaking human society. You know, I think we're getting dumber by all this, because it's like it's less interaction for us, but our attention is focused on this object that's playing other stuff that other people are doing, but we're not doing anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just normalized
chaos.
This like intrusion into your thought processes and your brain activity kind of stuff.
And people who send you, if I send a video, there has to be something and it makes me want to send it. Like there has to be some context to it. There's some people that'll send me 25 TikToks a day. I never watch any of them. And they'll just mark it with like funny or wow. I don't have time to stop in my day and watch 25 TikToks. I just don't.
I guess I'm just saying, like, for me, I don't understand what's so attention grabbing on the phone. That's all. I get like, if you had some mobile game you like, I've been there. Like,
yeah.
I've paid a lot, but. Those are really few and far between, and I've only done that a few and not really. But like, I don't know. I just don't see it, dude. I get that for me. I just don't. Right. Because I don't see that as the, how would I put this? I just don't see that as like a place to give it power. Maybe that's the way I should put it, right? The phone is not a place where I think all these media things or whatever, I just don't feel like they deserve my full undivided attention for hours on end.
I'm going to be honest with you.
So
you listed some things like constant task switching, which causes reduced attention spans, doom scrolling and mental clutter, real life moments you miss because you're replying to someone online. But I've never... this is one I'd like to explore, is digital guilt. Like, what is digital guilt? Like,
I don't know. So I got this. Okay, listen, let me say, this was something that popped up as people feel this. And this is, I guess this is related to what I was talking about. Like, I don't understand it.
Yeah. Digital guilt.
Yeah, because I've been, I've unplugged myself for a while and that's, I feel guilty for not paying attention to things or something. I don't know. It's a very interesting thing.
It's very like, strange.
Like you feel like you've let people down by not paying attention to their social media presences and stuff. And because I think this is where this is coming from. More people are putting their entire existence is rooted in social media. Like it's just all about what their status is, what they've posted today, what they're, you know, all these things. And then when you get so attached to that, as in like, this is your identity of who you are, is this social media presence. Then if you unplug from that, now you feel a little guilty because you haven't shared, you know, yourself with your friends and stuff online, I guess, or something. Right. I mean, that's part of it from what I was reading. But also you haven't given your friends, like you haven't liked their posts and stuff today or all this.
It's one of these,
you know,
I've never understood. To me, that seems like an awful lot of self-importance, right? Like, I don't care what you had for lunch. No, don't get me wrong. Like I've had people contact me through Messenger on Facebook and be like, hey, tried this restaurant today. You really ought to try it. That's okay. But when you go online and you're posting pictures of your meal, shouldn't you be eating it? Like, shouldn't you be... Like, oh, it's so pretty. Well, listen, you're not in an art gallery or at a restaurant. Eat your food, stupid.
I mean, like, I'll say this. For example, with our girls, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They get a lot of screen time. They do. They like video games. They play. They like Roblox and Minecraft and stuff.
Yeah.
But we do a lot with them together, right? Mm-hmm. When there's like some learning, my wife takes them outside to like do some kind of science thing, or they'll just go outside and read or go do all this stuff, or sit there, play a game on the, in the dining room table kind of stuff. We're doing things with our girls, right? You know, there is some learning stuff we do on the computer, but like, it's really not near as much as we do just doing stuff with them. Right.
Yeah.
Well, why is that? Well, because that it's the interaction of the physicality and interaction of doing that is way more productive and way more beneficial than just staring at a computer screen trying to do something like that. Right.
Yep.
And I think that's what adults need to kind of freaking unpack a little bit about this stuff too. Like, you know, I've been to family events and stuff like that where it's just you look around and then they're just staring at their phone and all this stuff. I check my phone a lot. I think for me, I would say it's a lot. But when I look around, I'm like the one that's not on the phone like the whole time. So, yeah. You know? So yeah, I mean, the constant switching though is a problem, I think. I want to say this too, like not just that digital guilt thing, but like when people are just like looking at one app and they're scrolling through, then they switch to another one, scrolling through. It's there's no time in there to focus on really anything.
Yeah. There's no time to use your brain.
You know, now I get sometimes when you want to just scroll through a quick, find something or whatever, but it seems like that's just a norm too. But going back to the family events though, it's like people are having real conversations, or you're trying to have a real conversation, but like you look around and like, you know, half the people are.
Yeah.
So what are you missing? You know,
it's a good question. It's like doom scrolling. I don't quite understand doom scrolling. Like,
not either.
I've gone through four or five videos at a time and then left. But I guess that would have to do more with what your algorithm is, right?
I guess.
Like my algorithm is like Vaughty and MacArthur and masculinity and, you know, stoicism and Jordan Peterson and Charlie Kirk. And those are my algorithms. I don't have any kind of gloom and doom anything in my algorithm. So I don't really understand doom scrolling. Like what are you searching for that it would be considered doom scrolling, right?
Some of this is sensationalism. What would
be my doom?
some of it is like just sensationalized nonsense too.
Yeah.
You know, the paranoia propaganda machine going nuts too.
Yeah. Well, if you notice, now that we've kind of come into this time of people kind of waking up and having more of a sense of what the realities are, that's amped up something fierce. They realized we were distracting them. Let's try to distract them more. No, it doesn't make any sense, right? So,
I mean, it's just like, so when I hear, I've been joking with the wife, you know, if we ever, I write a number one bestseller or something, we're going to buy our own island and just, you know, we'll bring a community of people that we trust. We'll all just live on an island and,
yeah,
not have doom scrolling, but you know.
All right. So I got a question.
Yeah.
What is the weirdest or dumbest notification you've ever received?
I don't know, dude. That's a tough one. There's so much stupid. It's hard to say, you know, and I tell you what, nowadays here's why it's hard to answer that, because there's so much spam.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? I get so many spam things and it wavers. It depends on who's bought my information that week, to send me, you know, whatever.
It's bought my information that week. Who they sold my info to. I'll tell you what, you probably have this too. Like your algorithms, if you put mail into an algorithm, there will inevitably be boner ads. They come in like dozens. The funniest notification I ever got is, are you looking at your boner? And I was like, not really. I'm at work. It just popped up. It just came up, and I was like, oh, and I pulled my screen down, and it was some kind of blue something, and it just said, are you looking at your boner? And I was like, somebody screwed up. Somebody shouldn't have typed that. I laughed out loud at work. I was like, they're like, what's so funny? I was like, nothing, nothing at all. But that, I don't, what about accidental texts? I've never gotten an accidental text. I don't know.
I've got plenty of accidental texts and sent accident, you know, like, you know, somehow my phone comes on unlocked or whatever, and it jarbles up a bunch of stuff and it hits send to somebody, or it autocorrects it. It's like really funky, really funky.
Yeah.
That's happened many times, right? Especially if I'm outside, you know, because I usually have my phone with me just in case. Because if I'm outside using a chainsaw or whatever, yeah. I kind of want to make sure if I can call somebody.
In case you glop off a foot or something.
You know, something. Yeah. Got it. And so, but it'll be all sweaty and full of wood chips or weeds or whatever the case may be. And it'll, you know, so it'll, I'll randomly pick up my phone and it's doing something.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I get so many weird notifications, but I kind of anymore, I don't turn them on. Like my notifications are like really, really, really slim anymore.
When I download an app, I turn the notifications off.
Exactly. Like I've gone through and pretty much eliminated any notification except for some of the bare essentials.
I think there's somebody at the place when you turn off the notifications, they're like, ooh.
But everything asks for a notification, dude. Yes. Like everything. You know, you go to a web browser session on something. Are you going to allow notifications? No. You know, it's crazy, man.
Never.
But, yeah, I mean, but for me also, too, and I'm thinking about this because since I work for a global corporation, I'm a global manager, a manager of a global team. So I do get notifications a lot. All the time from all kinds of places, right? And I have some people who are way more transparent than I would probably like them to be with some of the
oversharing.
Oh my Lord.
Please don't share that with
me. I know. So some of those I won't divulge here, but like some of those have been like, why are you? And it'd be like 4 a.m.
Why are you that comfortable with me?
Why? Why are you sending me this at 4 a.m, you know? But yeah, that's kind of silly. I'm sure there's, yeah. I mean, I know some of the text messages that come from my phone and stuff that have been just random, like said some weird shit too, like, but this and that, I mean, you know, just crazy crap. So
the only thing I've ever done is I remember I think I did something. I don't know why, but I guess Siri was on and I went shit real loud and look, she came up on my phone right there, but, and she sent the text to one of the guys I work with and it just is that word. And he texts me back. He's like, are you okay? And I'm like, well, yeah. Accidental text, I guess. I don't know. But like, here's another one for you. It's bad enough on your television. It's bad enough on your phone. It's bad enough on your tablet. Now it's in your friggin' car. Like, I can't go in my car and just turn on music without having to get 9 Spotify notifications over my digital media in my car. Like, again, I feel like it's intentional, right? Like, it's intentional. Okay, Reggie, well, then I will ask you this question. I will ask it. How would you go about setting boundaries without upsetting people? I mean, we talked about people being like feeling disrespected, but there's got to be a way of setting boundaries. Like my thing is I tell people, they'll be like, well, I'll text you later. I'll be like, if you text me past 8:00, I probably won't answer you till tomorrow. And I just let them know up front. I'm like, dude, I go home. I put my phone face down at dinner. From dinner on, my phone doesn't get looked at unless I get an emergency notification. Right. Like,
well, I'd say so my personal stuff, I mean, okay, so here's the thing. I have dialed back my social media stuff ages ago, right? So where I'm not on that really very much, I'm not paying much attention. So that's already, people just don't expect me to, you know, be looking at everything because I don't. Yeah. And I've just been that way. But with real friends who would text me or call me, I try to be pretty attentive to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm around, I do it. But
most of those people know you and I well enough not to text past a certain time.
Well, people know I'm a night owl. So, I mean, that doesn't really matter. But they know.
I wish I was a night owl. I'm a 9, 8 p.m. ish owl.
What I do for work though, there'll be definitely times when I say, hey, and I'll let my whole team know. And my direct, VP and all that stuff. I say, hey, my work phone is going to be not with me for this long.
Yeah.
They know. I unplug. Like if I go on vacation, I tell them my phone, my work phone, I keep it separate too. I think this is another. So anybody out there who does work with and they have, you have a work and they want you to take your port your number over to them so that you can get their email stuff. I chose have a whole nother phone that they give me that I keep my work here and I keep my personal stuff here.
Yeah.
Right. And that was one way to set a boundary. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I say, you know, work is here. And then I make sure that everybody knows, hey, look, here's this, but they also have my own, my personal cell phone number. The people who need it, should say, not the whole company, but the people who need it know that if something really, you know, hits the fan, they can call me. You know?
Well, like for me, I've had clients at work be like, well, why don't you just give me your cell phone? No, I'm not going to do that. Well, why don't you want to give me your cell phone number? Because I'm that is for family and people that I know personally. I don't know you personally. You have my direct line at work. You have my email. That's enough. If it's such an emergency that you had to get me right now and you can wait 30 minutes, then it probably wasn't going to be something I could help you with to begin with. I mean, if the building's burnt down and you're calling me to tell me it's already burnt, what good was the call, right? Like I one of the things that I did was I literally set a time. I get home around 5, I go to the gym. When I get home around 7, phone goes face down. Like I don't want to talk on the phone. I don't want to connect. It's not that I don't care about people or there isn't people in my life that I want to communicate with, but there's a point when, yeah, you can tell me tomorrow. Like it's not going to do me any good to find out today, you know, unless somebody's dying or died or unless you're physically ill or you need help, which at that point you can send me a text alert and let me know. But for the most part, you know, you have to allow a period of time for your brain to reset, right? From everything that you've seen during the day. We live in the busiest world in history. There has to be a time where you turn the world off for a minute and be like, I'm in my home and I'm not going to do this for the rest of the night, right? That's not to say that if there's an emergency at the house, you can't use your phone or your tablet. I mean, hey, the dishwasher blew up. I need a plumber. Well, there's no phone books anymore. So you have really no other choice but to go to your phone and Google for a plumber, right? But if you are so erratically addicted to your phone that you can't go home and just chill, take a minute, that's a problem, man. That's a huge problem.
Well, yeah. Okay. Setting boundaries.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. And I mean, so it needs to be clear. And I mean, you know, some people won't understand this either. That's the thing. And I guess I just wouldn't worry about it so much. Yeah. That's just me. But like I use do not disturb modes on my devices.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much as soon as I'm like, I make it a point, like my work phone, if I know, and well, here's the thing for me, again, this is all varied up because I have a weird schedule a lot. So when I know I'm not going to be, you know, it's like, okay, I'm really technically, I'm not going to be in office at the moment.
Yeah.
Do not disturb. My personal phone goes on do not disturb throughout, you know, probably a couple hours before I think I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah.
Until, you know, I wake up in the morning. And even when I wake up in the morning, I'll go do some things first and then I'll, you know.
Well, they say the worst thing you can do is wake up and start scrolling and staring at your phone. They said it sets you up for anxiety during the day. So,
but I guess the thing is too, where are you rooting your identity in though too? Like, is it in the social media space?
Yeah, because the digital friends and digital likes have replaced human interaction and human like.
And this is where I'm going.
You know,
like that's a clue that something's off.
Well, you're even seeing it in churches. Churches are going to. They're hard to find, but there's a couple of them. There are literal social media churches where they post a sermon on a certain day and all their congregation watches the sermon and then they comment on it. And then the guy asks for donations. He has like a GoFundMe and they're actually running a church and he has digital elders and digital deacons. And I'm like, that's just, dude, that's the antithesis of what we're supposed to do.
Again, you can get really quality connections through digital means. But are you really living life with somebody who lives halfway across the country?
Yeah.
You can share a lot. You can have meaningful friendships there. But for church, that's a different look. That's a level that needs to extend beyond that. Not always, but I'm saying, but you know, if you're sitting there and your family's having a real difficult time with something, you can talk to this digital friend of yours that's, you know, across the country or whatever, but it's not like they're going to come over and bake you a pie.
Yeah.
You know,
or come bring you
a casserole, you know.
Or, yeah, come bring you. Or, hey, come over and have a conversation, you know.
You need the physical presence. That's what I'm saying, right? The more you build into the physical reality that we live in and you put more emphasis there, the less this digital stuff's going to, like, it'll fade away.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, and I hate to say it, but the Generation X guys and older, those are where we know what this is like. And we're kind of there. Although I know a lot of our peer groups are stuck in this hole, but you know, I'm at that age or that generation, dude, where I've seen both. And I know what this digital stuff is. And I don't really, it doesn't appeal to me, man. It just doesn't. Right?
It shouldn't. If we're built intellectually like we were built, the digital part should be the least intellectually stimulating to us. It should be.
Well, there can't. Look, you can.
I'm not saying you can't learn things, but when you pour all of your mental stimuli into 12, 15, 20, 25 second videos, what are you actually doing?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, you know, this is long form for a reason. I don't feel like you get a lot of quality. You can get blurbs and stuff and like thought provoking statements and stuff. But like the whole conversation that we have, I find far more beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but
absolutely.
But yeah, it's just setting boundaries and knowing that, okay, I going through your phone and looking at your notifications and saying, you know what? No, I don't need to be notified for every sale that, you know, Target's got going on. I don't need, you know.
I don't care.
I don't need dings every time somebody, I don't need to know in a notification on my phone every time somebody likes a post I've written or something. Yeah. You know.
That's another thing. I've never once posted something on Facebook and worried about whether people liked it or not.
No, I don't. Well, in generally, no. Now, if you really want to get this, look, there's all kinds of ways to set automated messages out to respond and say, hey, I don't accept DMs after such and such. I'll get back to you tomorrow or something. Yeah. There's automated ways to do all that stuff. You know, there's many, 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 many different ways. But, you know, I'd say if you really have a problem setting boundaries, though, then there's a deeper issue. That's kind of where I'm at, right?
I think so.
And I'm no psychiatrist or anything, and no psychologist, whatever. But I mean, it just seems like the people I know that are so attached to their phones, I don't know how real it gets. You know what I mean? Like, there's this whole world that I feel like they're just not paying attention to, except through the screen of a, you know, 5x7, whatever that is, screen.
4x6.
Whatever it is. So, you know, I would say just look, if you really want to know what this is, you know, take an hour, 30 minutes, whatever you got to do at first, just unplug. Just try it. And
call just, somebody, know. Have a conversation. Talk.
Go get coffee with somebody. Yeah. Man. I mean, you know.
Or, you know what? Take a book and go get coffee and read a book while you drink your coffee.
That's riveting.
Riveting. Full of.
Rivets.
Well, I think this is an important topic for two reasons. Again, I said it earlier in the episode. I'll say it again. The devil can't make you bad and make you busy. So all this stuff gets thrown in front of you on high and repeat and you can't escape it and it becomes all consuming and it takes your eyes off the prize, which is doing what we're supposed to be doing.
And even those news channels though,
yeah,
they're going to keep talking and repeat.
I mean, one of the things that over and over and over again, absolutely ragged about Fox News. And the main reason I stopped watching it, had nothing to do with where they leaned, even though they do have, you know, angles and prejudices, was the fact that they would have hour, and it was literally same news, just a different person saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Like it would be different if that one whole hour was focused on a new story and all the nuances of that story. And then they went to the next hour and it was a different news story and all the nuances. That would be different, but it is literally an hour and an hour and an hour and an hour. And again, it's not news. It's opinions. It's satire and sarcasm and lacks critical thinking. MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, they all lack that critical thinking element that would make them an actual news outlet. I don't care what Bret Baier or Joy Behar. I could care less what your opinion. It's not that I don't want you to have an opinion. Have all the opinions you want. I just don't care. Give me the news. Tell me what's happening. And then let me. Yeah. Weather update. Yeah, baby. I set that up. No, I just didn't. I just turned that off. Sorry about that.
An example.
I know. My weather. I am addicted to knowing the weather. But there's, I don't care about your opinions. Just give me the news, which is, I think a part of it is this ADD life, this world we live in. Like, little bit, bam, next hour, little bit, next hour. And you're like, dude, stay on the point for more than 2 minutes. Your monologue should not be the most entertaining part of what you're giving me in the news. It should be the nuances and the actual situation and the thing in the both sides. And it just doesn't happen. And it's the same thing here. They get caught in this wheel of, because here's what happens. God forbid you put tap the little heart button on a video. You're going to get 150 videos that are going to send you down the same road. And then weak-minded people, that will become their opinion.
Not just that. Okay. But also to think about this on like social media stuff. So yes, I agree with you about the news cycles and stuff that it's just, I don't do it. I can't, I don't do it. But now what are you seeing most of really anyway? Ads.
Yes.
Ad. Somebody's post. Ad. Somebody's post. Ad. Somebody's post.
Yeah. Or you might catch two videos and then get four ads, right? Like it's stupid.
Yeah. I mean, look, this if they didn't work, they wouldn't be there.
That's right.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's not like I haven't clicked on one and go, oh, that looks cool. But still, like it's inundating with consumerism too. Yeah.
And if you click on that ad, you're going to get 50 more ads of that. That's the trap, right? The click is the trap. Like I think I'm starting to understand doom scrolling a little more. I hit the heart button on this guy talking about how hard the world is. And the next thing you know, the next 30 videos are telling me how hard the world is. And then all of a sudden my world is very difficult and hard because I've watched 30 videos in a row all telling me it is, right? But again, I think this is just one of those things where I think as a society, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, just as a society in general, we lack the ability to critically think. Because if we still had the ability to critically think, we would know that this is unhealthy, right? Like we would have that knowledge.
Yeah.
But we've lost that ability to go to look at it from positionally, is this benefiting me? No, not really. So let's move on to something that'll benefit me, right? It's even that way at the gym. I'll be at the gym working out. And you look in the gym, only about 30% of the people in the gym are working out. The other 70% are on their phone. So anyway, well, the why behind digital boundaries, because it'll give you a healthier life. It'll give you a healthier existence. It'll give you a more peaceful.
Rooted in reality.
Yeah. Yes, very much so.
Because the world we live in is still beautiful.
Yeah.
It's not all doom and gloom.
Still mega cool things to see.
You know, if you happen to live in the United States of America, it's the greatest country in the freaking world still, you know, regardless of what they want you to try to be paranoid about, but it's still that way. Yes, there's a lot of problems and I'm not saying that, but you know, I mean, the world we live in is way bigger than a iPhone screen.
Yeah,
or cell phone.
Absolutely. Screen, way more to see.
And now, not to say that you should go travel and do all this stuff, but it's helpful.
How much cooler would it be to see the Grand Canyon than to see pictures of the Grand Canyon?
Oh yeah, I watched the documentary.
Yeah, nice. The documentizations. That's not a word.
It's not a word.
It's not a word. Well, I would encourage all of our listeners to take some time and unplug intentionally and take a look around the world. What's going on around you, right? What can you get yourself into? What can you take part in and participate in, right? You'll just be a better, more rounded person at that point. And don't feel guilty. It's all right. You didn't sign a contract with whoever your internet or phone provider was.
Especially if you're dealing with anxiety.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's probably best to get away from your phone if you're suffering from anxiety.
I have not. I mean, even more so over the last month, this thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Don't do it to yourself.
No. No. As a matter of fact, a couple of times I picked it up and clicked on something like my Instagram, right? Open it up. Be like, no. Put it down. Not happening. Yeah. You know, especially the last couple of days. New.
Yeah.
Ain't happening. But, you know, so if you're dealing with something like that, don't do that. Use it to reach out to somebody.
Yeah. And actually set up a real life interaction.
You know, because, I mean, that's what's important.
Well, I think it would be cool if any of our listeners would comment some of their worst and always on moments, some of their funniest. You know, feel free to post it in the video. And share a boundary you're going to set this week. Send it in to us. Let us know, you know, so we can talk about it, you know, and get into, you know, some good ideas, man. Some people have some pretty original stuff, man. I've had some people throw some original, pretty original things on me. So I'd love to hear what everybody has to say. But what do you think, Reg?
Indubitably.
Indubitably. He has word of the day toilet paper.
That's what I wipe my butt with.
That's right. I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
We're RB Talks. See you guys.
Bye-bye.